Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, boy, that first hour went awful quick. This show goes very, very quick each and every day. I want to remind you of the John Cantara Show, brought to you by the Eric Paredes Save a Life Foundation. Get ready for Heart Month by registering your age 12 to 25-year-old for a free heart screening on February 9th. Visit epsavealife.org/thefan. Again, I encourage you to go to their website. And again, it's epsavealife.org/thefan. And get signed up. If you've got a child 12 or older to 25 years of age, a lot of you young adults out there, take advantage of this. Take advantage of it. They get you in and out very quickly. It could save your life, and it saved several people's lives in the last several years. And this become a nationwide program, and it all started right here in San Diego. So, again, the Eric Parady Save a Life Foundation, they do tremendous work. Take them up on it. And, again, go to their website, epsavealife.org/thefan. Okay, another news story coming down, another article regarding off-season free agency. And this comes from CBS Sports. Dane Perry wrote this. Says the top free agent or top trade available players. They start with Mookie Betts. They go to Francisco Lindor, who we've heard is linked to the Dodgers. Can you believe it or not? Chris Bryant of the Chicago Cubs. Why they'd want to trade Chris Bryant, I have no idea. Noah Syndergaard's fourth on this list. You've got Starling Marte, who Pittsburgh just picked up his option, probably going to stay there. He's 31 years of age. Here's an intriguing guy for the Padres, and he's only 27 years of age. He's a second baseman for the Kansas City Royals, Whit Merrifield. This guy's a really good player. I know a lot of you folks that follow the National League aren't really aware of Merrifield, and, of course, the Royals last couple of years have been really bad. This guy would be a boost to the Padre infield, I can tell you that. They got Robbie Ray from Arizona on that. They got Charlie Blackman of Colorado. And then they've got our man Kirby Yates. Kirby Yates turns 33 just before opening day in 2020. And like I said, I think the Padres should have traded him prior to this last year's trading deadline. But it sounds like they're going to shop him around. But I think Kirby will probably be back. I think if he were to get traded, I don't necessarily think it would be during the winter. I think it would be, depending on how the team's doing next year, maybe he'd get traded in the final year of his contract before the trading deadline. But I think they'll probably go to Peoria with him. But Whit Merrifield, very interesting guy for me. This guy's a good hitter. A good hitter and a good second baseman. Okay, I want to get out to your phone calls, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Joe in San Marcos. Joe, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, Coach. I'm sitting here listening to you in my car.
Oh, great.
I got a wild one for you. If by chance this wild idea of the Padres getting Rendon, How about if they put him at third, move Machado to shortstop, and put Tatis at second base? I'll listen to your laughter offline.
Well, I'm not going to laugh at it. I think I'd rather have Tatis. He's younger. I think he's got better range than Manny. Yeah, he's going to make a few mistakes because he's going to try to make plays he probably can't make. And, you know, he's going to learn with age not only not to try to make every play a fantastic play, but he's also going to learn to take care of his body a little bit better and not dive for certain balls that even if you field them by diving, you're not going to be able to throw guys out. I mean, I think Rendon would probably end up at second base because he's had experience there. I think you leave Machado at third and you leave Tatis at shortstop. I mean, Braden, seriously, if they had that kind of infield, that'd be the best infield in all of baseball, and it'd also be probably the highest-priced infield in all of baseball.
Well, definitely the highest-priced infield in all of baseball. I would be more excited to see what that batting lineup would look like with Rendon and Machado, Tatis, Hosmer, plus some of the outfield pieces that they have. That's a pretty murderer's row you got to get through in terms of the Padres' batting order as well. I would stack that up. That would probably be one of the best infields in Major League Baseball, if not the best infield in Major League Baseball.
Well, and I would imagine Rendon is going to command probably at least $30 million per year. Now, he's a little bit older. He's 29 years of age. You wouldn't have to give him, you know, the 10-year contract that you gave Machado. But, again, his agent, Scott Boras, hey, who knows? Maybe Peter Seidler and Ron Fowler and A.J. Preller, maybe they can cast a spell over Scott Boras, and he can get a package deal for both Strasburg and Rendon and bring him to America's finest city.
Did you just say cast a spell after Halloween? Come on, Coach.
Yeah.
We're going to be thinking more Thanksgiving-type scenarios here. Maybe you can fatten him up with a great deal.
In my wildest dreams, okay, I always dream about what the Padres can do, okay?
You doing this in your underwear?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, probably my sweatpants, though. But anyway, seriously, I'm always sitting at home. You know, my mind's always racing around. I want the Padres to get better. I mean, my wife knows. I mean, she knows that I'm a maniac when it comes to the Padres. I mean, of all the sports that I follow and the teams, you know, that I love to watch play, something about the Padres since I've been a little boy that I just want this team to win so bad. And, yes, I'm critical. I'm not going to sit here, and I've talked about it time and time. I'm going to sit here day in and day out and, you know, sell sunshine to the fans. I'm going to tell you what I think. And when they're not doing well, I'm going to say it. And if they don't like it, play better. But at the end of the day, I want this organization to be successful. I want them to contend and eventually win a Major League Championship and bring that World Series trophy to our great city. And, you know, I mean, some of these things are just amazing to me that we're even being in rumors being linked to get both a Strasburg and a Rendon. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. The biggest part, I think, is, you know, the fact that we're just rumored to have, you know, be in connection with a lot of players that are going to cost a lot of money. And that's the exciting part for Padres fans.
I think they're printing money down there.
Yeah, they got to be. They must have a new mint down in San Diego. It runs out of Petco Park.
It might be in the same room that the waiver wire. You know, I've been hunting down there at Petco Park since they opened in 2004. I want to know where they hide the waiver wire.
Exactly.
Huh? That's my goal in life, is to find the waiver wire.
Exactly. Well, you're repping the brown and gold hat. You're very excited for it. We threw that on Twitter.
Those young kids that came in that work for the Padres, they thought I was.
Oh, they definitely thought you were nuts.
I said to them, "I go, you don't really realize how much this hat means to me."
Yeah, and I put that on Twitter too. And I think you're getting a little beat up a little bit. People don't think you're being honest, but you got to tell us on the air why. I mean, you were. That's how he was. I mean, he was that serious, and the two representatives from the Padres are kind of looking at Coach like, all right, yeah, all right, cool. We'll move on to the next station now.
No, He's got the hat on right now.
He's wearing it.
I love it, and I appreciate the Padres sending it over to me. Let's get out to Sammy in Carlsbad. Sammy, you're next up on 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Coach. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks so much for the call.
Awesome. Hey, so I just wanted to say, you know, I think that Larry Rothschild signing was great. You know, we were promised experience in the managerial position, but we ended up getting Ting. So I think Larry Rothschild is going to be a good coach, and as long as we fill those positions of coaches with experience, we should be all right. I think Larry is very involved in the pitching matchups. If we watched him in the playoffs with Aaron Boone, he was always by his side. They were always talking about their next move, their next strategy. So as long as he's involved, just like Ting says, he likes to be involved, I think that he'll be good for Paddock, Lucchesi. And if we can get Strasburg and maybe Madbum, he can work with them to help the younger guys build that experience.
Well, Larry Rothschild has a world of experience, and there's no doubt. In fact, when I was talking with Darren Balsley this morning, Darren goes, I haven't reached out to Larry yet, but I'm going to, and wish him the best of luck and congratulate him. And that's the kind of guy Darren is. And, you know, he's known Larry Rothschild for a long period of time. Rothschild's a proven pitching coach. He'll do a great job here. You know, I was at a banquet last night for coaching legends in town, and Braden had his high school banquet last night, and then we met and did the high school show. But, you know, last night I had a lot of people come up to me and ask me at the coaching legends banquet down at the Scottish Rite Event Center, you know, what do you think about Jace Tingler? And I go, you know what? You know, he probably wouldn't have been my hire. In fact, I know he wouldn't have been my hire. But the thing is, this guy's a good baseball man, and you know what? He's surrounding himself with good baseball men. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. His problem isn't that he's going to get overmatched by, you know, making this move or that move. His biggest challenge, in my opinion, is going to be how he handles his bullpen. That's the key to being a great manager, handling your pitching staff, your starters, but more importantly, your bullpen. It's going to take a while. There's going to be a mistake made here or there. But this guy's got a great resume. He's a hardworking guy. And one of the things the Padres, they need a grinder in here. They need a grinder who can get along with the ball players, get them to show up each and every night, play their tail off. But you need a little bit better ball players on an everyday basis. We don't have enough of good everyday ball players. We got three guys right now. We got our first baseman, our shortstop, and our third baseman. Some of the other guys, you don't know from one day to the next what you're getting, whether it's being Renfro or Myers. I mean, some days those guys look like all-stars and superstars. Next day, they look like they belong in AAA. So, you know, they need to beef up this roster. Tingler's going to be fine. I'm not worried about Tingler at all. Hey, Sammy, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Coach.
Good stuff right there. Jace Tingler's going to be fine. I mean, this guy's been around baseball a long time. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to be a major league manager, believe me. You need to be able to connect with your ball players, let them know that you care about them more than just as baseball players, and you got to hopefully have a couple of good leaders in that clubhouse. At the end of the day, you got to have a couple of guys in that clubhouse that are going to monitor things, because the last thing you want with a major league team, or any team for that matter, is the coach out in the clubhouse all the time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, everybody we've talked to around Texas, around the national, you know, baseball writers, everybody that knows Jace Tingler, that's kind of the guy he is. He cares about his players, and he cares about the well-being of his players. And, you know, he's there to manage the clubhouse and the, you know, the personalities of the clubhouse. He's there to be there as a, you know, more of a human connection support than just doing the X's and O's of baseball and strategic situations, which I think a lot of that comes from front offices now anyway. So I'm excited to see the new Jace Tingler approach and what you know, Rothschild's got to be the new pitching coach here for the San Diego Padres. I also have an update on Ryan Leaf. He'll, his estimated time of arrival, 1:28, so he should be on his way for our 1:30 segment.
Oh, great. Ryan Leaf will join us in studio, and Ryan in town to call that Aztec game tomorrow night against Nevada. It'll be good to see him. I haven't seen him in a few years.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk some college football and get ready for the San Diego State Aztec game on tomorrow.
Hey, when we come back, we promised you we'd get you a little a rewind from last night's Charger-Raider game. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We're going to 3 o'clock in the Gwynn and Chris program. We'll be at El Camino High School this afternoon, because tonight we've got high school football Division II playoffs. Valley Center taking on El Camino. You'll hear it here on 97.3 The Fan and our radio.com app. Coming back with more of your phone calls next on 97.3 The Fan.
You're listening to San Diego's home for football. It's Football Friday, presented by Hooters on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Coach John Quintero with you. I guess Twitter, Braden, they think I don't like Manny Machado. That's not the case. I like Manny Machado, but I think when you take a look at Rendon, he can do a few more things than Manny. Number one, he runs a lot better than Manny.
Yeah, he does, and I just everybody, you're not going to be able to please everybody.
Oh, I know.
It's kind of funny.
I wonder what kind of contract he's going to get. I mean, Manny got 10 years, $300 million. I think Rendon, I don't think he'll get the number of years that Manny got, because there's a big discrepancy in age by about 3 years. Rendon right now is 29. But I think he's going to get $30 million a year at least.
I think he's going to get a lot of money. I don't think it's going to be Manny Machado type money, but he's going to get a very big contract because he's well worth the money for sure.
Hey, I'm happy Manny Machado's in a Padre uniform. It's just I'd love to see Rendon here, and I think because of his versatility, he could move over and play second base because he's had a little bit of a history, especially early in his career when Ryan Zimmerman was still playing third base before all the shoulder injuries robbed him of his throwing arm, and then Rendon moved over there and has done an excellent job. And again, one of the best right-handed hitters this year in all of baseball. Coming up in the next 30 minutes, you can listen for your name to be called and give us a call back to win a pair of tickets to see Dana Carvey at Harrah's Resort SoCal on Saturday, February 1st, and be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for the uniquely Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. And we've had great success. A lot of our biggest fans call in with those 10 minutes. So, again, we'll be announcing that in the next 30 minutes. And within the next 20 minutes or so, Ryan Leaf should be arriving, and he'll do a nice, good, long segment with me. And look forward to seeing Ryan. Haven't seen him in a few years, so look forward to having him in. And, again, he's going to have the call tomorrow night on ESPN2, the Nevada-San Diego State game. I want to duck in a couple of calls here, and then I want to get a couple of sound bites from that Charger game last night. Eric in Escondido, you're on with Coach John Katera. How you doing today?
What's up, Coach? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just want to say, man, I mean, we really have to keep talking about the Chargers. I mean, I used to be a big diehard Charger fan, you know, but they left, man, and they're not going to come back. You know, with that being said, what do you think about the Padres, the new hire for his name, Larry?
Larry Rothschild? Yeah, I think Rothschild's going to be fine. He's a veteran pitching coach. I think he's going to be fine. And, you know, I think as much as I love Darren Balsley, I think it's going to be good for the Padres. I think it's going to be good for Darren to go out there. And, you know, he won't, you know, be a major league pitching coach this year, I don't believe. I mean, that could change now that he's available and people are aware of that. You know, he could end up, you know, who knows? He could end up with the Giants. I mean, there's still some jobs available right now. But I think he's planning on, you know, doing whatever the Padres would like him to do. He's got 1 year left to go on his contract, and then he'll be a free agent after that. But Rothschild's going to be fine. I think they'll be happy with him.
Awesome. What do you think about all the hires that they've gone so far?
Well, I think so far they're doing a good job. They're bringing in some veteran guys to work with Jace Tingler. And like I said, you know, in our last segment, I think Tingler's going to be fine. I mean, he's going to make some mistakes. You know what? Everybody, even veteran managers from time to time make mistakes. But, you know, he's going to be okay. I mean, this guy lives and breathes baseball. He's the first to the ballpark, the last to leave. Again, I want people to understand he's not going to come out and become a Hall of Fame manager day one of opening day next year. He's going to make some mistakes on the field as well as off the field, but he's going to make them, I think, aggressively, not being real tentative. He's going to be an aggressive type of manager, I think.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Coach. Appreciate that.
All right, Eric. Thanks so much for the phone call. Have a great weekend. Let's get out to our buddy Mitch, listening on radio.com in New Jersey. Mitch, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How you doing?
Good, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing very well today.
Yeah, so for me now, from now to like baseball season, it's thermal weather. Thermal wear weather. You don't have to worry about that. Maybe you got to keep some Carbaton in your car console or something. That's
I don't want to get skin cancer, so I want to make sure that I'm properly equipped.
Smart. Do most of your shows inside. Stay cool. Perfect. The Chargers, unless they get one of those quarterbacks that they're locking in, you know, picking the 10, because I think the season's done. Those were his interceptions. It didn't matter what receivers he had on the team. And I like the way Melvin Gordon played last night. I hope they can keep him. Maybe next year, you know, James won't be hurt. They'll be luckier with injuries, and just add to the talent that they have. It's not far. He's not going to go on another team and win a championship. I hope he stays, finishes his career with the Chargers. He's a Hall of Famer in my book, I think.
Well, there's no question he's a Hall of Famer. I just wonder if the Chargers are going to allow him to go out on his terms, or with the way he's played this year, and they realize, hey, the offensive line's been awful. Last night he was sacked 5 times, actually threw 5 interceptions in the game last night. 2 of them got nullified on penalties. Yeah, well, yeah, but 2 of them, he had 2 others call back because they were penalties on the defense, but he threw 5 picks in that game last night, and he has not played well in fourth quarters this year. And if you're the Chargers, you got to wonder, they're moving into a new stadium. I'll be honest with you. I heard the rumors, and thanks, Mitch, again, for the phone call.
Absolutely.
You have a great weekend. Always great to hear from you from New Jersey. But, you know, Braden, there were rumors 2 weeks ago that Anthony Lynn is on thin ice up there, which I find really hard to believe because I think he's done a damn good job, and he's in his 3rd year. But they want to make a big splash when they move in to this new stadium. Do they want to go in with a brand-new coach? Do they want to go in with a brand-new quarterback? Going to be interesting. The offseason for the Chargers will be real interesting because I don't see this team finishing real well.
I just can't wait to see what they do because they're going to do something that messes everything up just like they always do, and it's going to be a fun thing to watch as I sit here in San Diego and watch them just burn.
Okay, let's take a look at what Philip Rivers had to say last night. He was under duress all night. The offensive line for the Chargers was absolutely horrible. They just are not playing good football. But here's Philip Rivers on his interceptions last night.
I just missed the throw to Keenan. I just missed it. He's wide open. I just missed it. Just sailed on me. The one Hunter slipped, but I don't know. I don't know that it's complete. It's probably not intercepted, but I don't know that it's complete. That guy was driving it pretty good. But, yeah, those are two obviously crucial errors.
All right, that's Philip Rivers on the key errors in that ball game, and of course, that last drive they had 8 plays. They threw on all 8 plays. The final one was intercepted. The only thing they needed was a field goal, but they got a little bit too pass happy. We're going to get to the bottom there when we come back. Ryan Leaf going to join us in studio. Coach John Katera, we're headed to 3 o'clock. Thanks for joining us today, right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Have you ever wanted to get inside the mind of the fans' personalities? We asked Tony Gwynn Jr. Which sport is better, college football or the NFL?
I say the NFL. I know a lot of people like to say, well, it's not as...
Fan.
All right, we're going to get back to more phone calls shortly. Again, we're going till 3 o'clock today, but I'm really excited about this gentleman being here. I knew him when he was with the Chargers, and we know what went on there at that point in time, a different time, a different place, and to see where he's come now. And I'm so proud of him. He's doing an unbelievable job. And if you haven't seen him on ESPN2, he's been doing an unbelievable job as an analyst and in studio on SportsCenter. And Ryan Leaf joining me in studio. And, boy, you're getting a lot of games this year, my friend. First of all, thanks for coming to the studio. Great to see you.
You bet. It worked out really well. Just landed here about 12:45, and it's near the hotel where I'm staying. So it worked out just fine to be back in town here.
All right. Tell me about how the season's gone. I mean, you're doing a lot of different things. You've got a SiriusXM radio show daily. Tell us about that, and also about this studio work. I saw you a couple of weeks ago. I didn't know you were doing studio work, and I actually got pretty excited. You did a hell of a job.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's you know, college football gave me everything, and there's such a love of the game for me in it. doing TV just became natural. And then the fact that I get to travel every weekend and call college football games for a living. I mean, are you kidding me? I was, you know, in a prison cell 5 years ago, and now I'm getting to do this great thing that I love. Just there's a ton of gratitude in our family because of the life we get to live now. It's pretty special.
Hey, tell us a little bit about how you got into this. I mean, you just didn't walk into ESPN and get a job. You did a lot of work the last couple of years to put yourself into this position.
Yeah, SB Nation first gave me my first radio show. It was a two-hour show Saturday afternoons in the fall. You know, didn't get paid a dime for it.
You're on they didn't put you on scholarship, huh?
No. So I had to walk on there and you know, prove my worth. And you know, when I first got out of prison, I was trying to decide what I was going to do with my life. You know, goals, things like that. There were three options. One was to get into the broadcasting world, which was what my degree was in at Washington State. The other thing was because of my time behind bars and meeting people and seeing how nonviolent drug offenders were warehoused and put away. I chose to start applying to law schools, and the third thing was I applied to a sound and music editing university to kind of. So those were the three kind of avenues where I was going, and I felt pretty comfortable that all three of them that I would enjoy and I'd be passionate about. And you know, Jay Glazer, who's become a really good friend of mine. He helped me get in with the Fox people and get an opportunity. And I shadowed Brady Quinn and Joel Klatt for the whole 2017 year. And there were two things I wanted to get from that, right? I wanted to make sure that I wanted to do it and that I could see that I could be good at it if I did get a chance to do it. And I answered yes to both of those. And luckily for me, the Pac-12 Network gave me a couple opportunities, plus some studio work. And, you know, Kirk Herbstreit and Greg McElroy allowed me to shadow them. And the producers at ESPN heard good things. And sure enough, last January, I got a phone call, and they asked me to come audition. And in July, they gave me the gig. And it's been nonstop, but it's been wonderful. It's been a dream come true, so we're really excited about it.
Ryan Leaf joining me in our 97.3 The Fan studios. How much work are you doing in the studio? Because from what I saw, you were very good, and I got to imagine as the season goes on and going into next year, they're probably going to want you to do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, we do it every week. I go in on a Wednesday, and we usually record a couple segments. This week we recorded three because of the college football playoff rankings coming out, so we reacted to that, and then we did a little preview for the Minnesota-Penn State game tomorrow, as well as the LSU-Alabama game. So we do that stuff, and then they cut it up and put them out. Like, I think last night the Penn State-Minnesota one was out, and I think tonight on SportsCenter LA will be the LSU-Alabama one.
Hey, what did you think of the first college football playoff rankings?
Yeah, I was. It's not my cup of tea, you know. Clemson for me is the best team in the country,
and they're number five this week.
You know, and I talked to Dabo Swinney as I was heading down to studio right after the playoff rankings were announced, and you know, he was disappointed. He felt disrespected, but I also heard him. You know, there was a little giggle in his voice because, you know, he did him a favor. You know, they did him a favor because if there was any complacency at all on a team that's the defending national champion with a ton of talent, they just threw it right back in their face. And now he's going to get some special play out of these guys for the next few weeks before the ACC championship. And the teams ahead of them have to play each other head-to-head. They just keep winning and doing what they're doing, which I expect them to be. You know, they're going to be right there when it's said and done. And you put any other team on a neutral site field with Clemson, I think, and it's going to be a bloodbath.
Hey, what are your thoughts on the game tomorrow, LSU, Alabama? We don't know if Tua's playing or not. Maybe you've gotten some information because you're one of those ESPN guys, but what do you think about that matchup?
Yeah, heard from Nick Saban today, and he said that it's a game-time decision, but there doesn't seem to be any limitations right now. Gary Danielson said he watched him in practice and said there are some mobility issues. It's not the same guy that they've seen all year or when he's at his best. So I expect them to get the ball out of his hand in a hurry. The fact that LSU lost Divinity this week, I think, is huge. they're not going to be able to rush the passer as well as they have been, and I would expect them to get the ball out of his hand as quick as they can to those great wide receivers and not allow people to get around that ankle if he does go and play. But I also, you know, I also don't know if it's such a bad thing if he weren't to go, because the team is so talented and so good. Mac Jones in his ability seems to be on par, maybe not as, of course, as good as Tua's, but I mean, you know, you get recruited to Alabama, you're a pretty darn good quarterback.
No question about that. Ryan Leaf joined us on our 97.3 The Fan Studios. I'm so happy for you. I mean, I can see the joy when I walked out to say hello to you. I mean, life is good right now for Ryan Leaf.
Well, I don't know if it's life. The difference is...
Let me back up. I saw a picture, I think it was from last weekend on Instagram, of you. You had your young little boy, and you were kind of holding him above your head. You just gotten home. That was a great picture.
Well, yeah, it's that's the special thing about all this. You know, none of this has anything to do with me. And I think for the longest time, I made everything about me, especially when I was here with the Chargers. And so now it's about my family. It's about my crew that I get to work with. You know, it's just a ton of gratitude with it all. And life's still life, right? I mean, even if things are going well in your life, life still exists. You have to, the difference is I choose to deal with situations in a healthy, positive way. Sometimes I still misstep, but I stay grounded with doing the things that I do in the service side of things. Like last night I was in Tulsa speaking at a recovery fundraiser for that community.
You got a nonprofit going as well, don't you?
Yeah, we do. You know, we help individuals who can't afford treatment for mental health and substance abuse, and we help facilitate that. And that's been really, worthwhile as well. But it's football season right now. It's about football. It's about doing the things that make us happy and trying to spend as much time with my family, because it's pretty limiting right now.
I would imagine, because you were telling me one of the things that the ESPN liked is how well you prepare. And, you know, Braden and I, we go out every Friday night and we do high school football games. I did the Aztecs for a number of years. And, you know, the preparation is actually even sometimes more enjoyable than calling the game, because you really get in there and you find this one little note on a guy, and that's kind of fun. Tell us a little bit about your broadcast partner and break down that Nevada-San Diego State game tomorrow night. Big game for the Aztecs.
It is. Clay Matvick's my play-by-play partner. He's been with ESPN for 14 years. He's a pro. He gets the new guy every year because they feel really comfortable with him, that if something hits the fan, he's the guy that can straighten things out and make it work. And he's been really helpful for me learning the craft. Being able to get reps every single week has been huge. A year ago, it was three times all year long, and there was just this big wait in between games. And it almost feels like you get in the booth and it takes you a quarter or two to feel it. And now, you know, I jump right into it after the open, and we're ready to roll. And that makes it fun. San Diego State, one loss. They were kind of in the same spot they were a year ago at this point, and then ended up 7-6. So their opponents that they're playing the next 4 weeks, they got beat by every one of them a year ago. So this is huge for them, right? They were in the AP top 25, didn't get in with the college football playoff rankings top 25. So they're right on the verge right there. They need to continue to win. Nevada, we called that game a week ago, and they're starting to make improvements. You know, they're one win away from a bowl eligibility. So Rocky Long will have them ready to go. The defense is great. Offensively, they've been kind of up and down. But Juwan Washington seems to be healthy and ready to roll this weekend. So I'm excited. It'll be interesting to be in Qualcomm, I guess, old Qualcomm, they call it, from my back in my day. But, you know,
when's the last time you were in Qualcomm? Which is now SDCC Stadium.
Yeah, we were there for the Holiday Bowl 2 years ago when I shadowed Joe Klatt. But since then, it hadn't been since the Holiday Bowl when my brother played for Oregon.
I remember Brady, right?
Yeah, Brady, and they played Adrian Peterson in that Oklahoma team, and it was a really good football game. He was 20 years old, so... Wow, that's a while ago now.
Ryan Leaf joining me in our 97.3 The Fan Studios. Yeah, tomorrow night he'll be on the air, ESPN2, with his broadcast partner, Clay Matvick. They'll have the call on ESPN Nevada against San Diego State. I want to say that you, I know you've done at least one Boise State game because I listened to you that night and you sounded great. It was a good ball game. Tell us a little bit about Boise State because right now, let's face it, that's the team. If everything goes the way the Aztecs would like, they're going to play them in the championship game more likely than not.
Yeah, I've been around the Mountain West a bunch this year. I did call that Boise State BYU game the only game they've lost all year, and they've had some quarterback issues as well with Bachmeier getting hurt and then filling it with a couple backups during the span. So that's the team you probably got to look for in the other division, and there's a really good chance that that game could take place for the conference championship, and it might just be the conference championship we get to call, too. So I think that would be kind of fun because we've been around the Mountain West pretty much the majority of the second half of the season, and we've kind of got a pretty good look at, you know, Fresno, Colorado State, Boise. BYU is kind of a Mountain West-esque type of independent team that plays those, and now San Diego State tonight. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think that they are kind of on a collision course if they're able to keep doing what they've been doing.
Ryan Leaf joining us on our 97.3 The Fan Studios for a few more minutes. And, again, Ryan, appreciate you coming over today. This is a lot of fun visiting with you. What's going on with Mike Leach in Washington State? I know they lost a lot last year and they lost their quarterback, but they're sitting at 4-4, 1-4, and he's talking about zombies now.
Yeah, they're the best four-loss team in the country, really. Only one game they've really been out of it.
Sounds like an alum right there.
They had UCLA, beat by 32 with 19 minutes to go, and they figure out a way to lose that.
I watched that game. It was unbelievable. They give up 50 in the second half.
I was in Mississippi, yeah. I just called the Ole Miss-Cal ending there, and I was watching it late at night, and I'd gone to bed when they were up by 32, and all of a sudden my phone started buzzing. And, you know, the only game they got blown out against was Utah. They came right down the stretch against Arizona State, and then of course two Saturdays ago against Oregon, you know, they score with a minute left and they're ahead and they lose by 2 points late in that football game as well. So they've been right there. You know, they go to Cal, who's giving them trouble this weekend. I mean, you're never going to get anything that isn't out of the ordinary with Mike Leach. It's just who he is, and I think it's what makes him successful in that town, because I think you have to be a bit eccentric, a bit out there to coach there, recruit there, do all the things, and I think he's a perfect fit there. He just has to get better at game management because he's just kind of a wheeler and dealer. But sometimes, you know what, you got to take the game clock down, the play clock down to, you know, 2 or 3 seconds and snap it. Because if they would have just done that in the UCLA game, there wouldn't have been enough time left for UCLA even to win the football game. That's the difference for me. So I've been pretty critical of him on that end of things. And then he's got to figure out a way to beat Washington. He hasn't done it in his entirety of his career there. I think the last 6 years they've lost to Washington in the Apple Cup. Last 3 years it's been for the North title, and they haven't even been in the football game.
You know, Ryan, you bring up a great point about time management. And I watch a lot of college. I love college football. I enjoy it much more than I do the NFL because, you know, guys, they are a little bit more wide open and they want to get the ball moving and going. But, man, a lot of these teams, when they get the lead, they have no clock management. They're snapping the ball with 15 seconds to go on the clock. I mean, you want to grind your opponent at that point in time. And you bring up Washington State. I mean, there's probably more doing poor clock management than there are people that are doing it right now.
Well, you think about it, and their answer or their response usually is, that's our rhythm. That's how we go. That's why we're good. That's how we can score points. And I get it. But when they scored against Oregon with a minute left, and I saw that much time on the clock, I said they're going to lose the football game because defensively they've been kind of like Swiss cheese all night. And sure enough, they went right down the football field in 52 seconds, kicked the game-winning field goal. Now, if you know, and I'm sure Mike Leach on the sideline knew that his defense was going to be hard to stop Oregon. If you know that, you drain the clock on your drive. You know, you try to. I know you need to score, and scores take advantage over anything else, but also just have an understanding of what you need to do in that moment. And if you have to take the play clock down to 1 second or something like that and only leave them with 30 seconds, because I don't know if with 30 seconds if they are able to win the football game. But with a minute, they certainly were. So those are just little things that I don't think he's ever had to take into consideration because he's just been go, 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 go.
You know, Tom Kraft, who coached here for 4 years at San Diego State, he used to run a no huddle, and he was really good at it. And he, you know, his record didn't show for it, and there were a lot of issues at San Diego State at that point in time. And he had been a very successful offensive coordinator at State prior to that. But, you know, he went at about three different speeds. I mean, the announcers, you know, the color analysts go, well, they're going tempo. Well, what kind of tempo are we going? Are we going the hurry up? Or are we going a no huddle? Or are we going to slow things down? I mean, there's different tempos you can play at. And some teams, I think, they have a hard time dialing it back a little bit because, you know, nobody ever huddles up anymore. I mean, if you huddle up, you're a Neanderthal. But, man, I'm just amazed that these guys spend, you know, days and weeks preparing for a game, and then they don't know how to manage the clock, which is really important, especially in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's huge. So, you know, you want to see it, especially from an alumni watching, you know, a team being able to follow up 11-win season because the quarterback's still leading the country in passing, right? I mean, it doesn't matter that they lost the quarterback from last year. Defensively is where they struggled. Washington State and Mike Leach coach football teams are the best football teams when their defenses are good. And when Alex Grinch was there and what he left with Tracy Clays the first year, a year ago when they were able to go 11-2, defensively is always going to be the answer because offensively they're going to be able to do whatever they want to do with Mike Leach's offense. He just has a blueprint and a way to win 8 or possibly 9 games a year, and that's just not going to win you championships. And Washington State fans are ready and want championships now. They're done with just, you know, being part of the conversation and getting to a bowl game. They want more.
USC, they hired Mike Bone, who spent a little time here in San Diego. He's bounced around at Colorado, Cincinnati. He started out at Air Force, and then he was at Idaho before he came to San Diego State. New USC athletic director. Your thoughts on what's going on there? I mean, you live in L.A. now, so you're reading the L.A. Times and all the information. I mean, Clay Helton, I don't see him being back. I mean, this poor guy never really had much of a chance.
No, I thought he was a lame duck coach from jump this season. And with the schedule that it was. And I thought, though, what he was doing this year is the best coaching job he's ever done at USC.
They got some talent, young talent.
That's another thing is the recruiting part of it, right? They've lacked in recruiting, and that's a big part of the coaching side of it. But I thought he's coached his tail off this year. And we'll see what the last three games look like for them. But I expect him to be out with the new president and now with the new athletic director wanting to shape it in their own image. And I think he'll be a great coach somewhere else. It's just maybe just not the right fit at USC. And I'll be interested to see where they go because I know the fan base wants Urban Meyer, and I think that would be a giant mistake. You know, I just feel like they're trying to get away from the controversy and the chaos, and then you hire a guy that's just been surrounded by it his entire career. But during that entire career, he's won national championships, and that's what they want. Are they willing to, you know, subject themselves to the morality side of things or lack of it for a winning championship football team? We'll see where Mike Bone goes with that stuff. I'll be interested to see where the coaching search goes because there's going to be a ton of pressure from the fan base.
I don't know who they're going to go get. I mean, there's been talk about James Franklin of Penn State. You know, we'll have to
wait and
see.
Why would you leave that?
Yeah, well, I agree with that. Hey, give me your thoughts on Chip Kelly. I know they got off to an awful start. They had the big win over Washington State, an amazing comeback. And they've won 3 games in a row. They need 2 more to get bowl eligible. You seeing some improvement from Chip Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some improvement, but I'm just, you know, I'm not ready to. I mean, they've won 7 games in 2 years, right? 3 games last year. This year they just jumped over the hump a little bit. They got a pretty difficult schedule left. They play USC. They have to go to Utah. You know, Cal with the loss of Chase Garbers has been just non-existent offensively, so that may be a win. So, you know, maybe they go 5-7 this year. Maybe they upset the crosstown rival like they did a year ago and go 6-6. If they go 6-6 and get to a bowl game, I think that's a huge step forward. But I also, if you're the administration and people there, if you're like, we hired Chip Kelly and we paid him all this money and he won 9 games in 2 years,
right?
You know, averaging 4.5 wins a season. I mean, that's not what people are going to be expecting. But, you know, I love what they're doing and the understanding of places like Florida State with Willie Taggart getting rid of him after, you know, a year and a half. You need to give a coach 3 years to allow for his recruiting class, for his identity to take over a program and see if that actually works, because I really do think Chip Kelly can be good. I just don't know if UCLA football can ever be good enough because of all the lack of things that they have. And one big one for me is the fact they don't have a stadium on campus. That's it. I mean, that's just a huge deal for me. And not even necessarily on campus, but it's 30 miles away where people just don't show up and go to.
We got about a minute and a half left. I got to just ask you, just the stories about the Chargers moving to London. How would you like to have been the London Chargers quarterback? How would you like to be based as an NFL player in London?
I would have loved it, you know. I loved the opportunity. You know, I don't know. I always kind of felt like when they moved up to L.A. that, you know, I thought the small stadium and 3 years there was going to kind of build a niche audience and fan base.
Uh-huh.
And it just hasn't materialized. So it's going to be difficult. I heard from Mr. Spanos this week, and he was adamant about the fact that, no, they're not going anywhere. He wanted L.A. for the market, the stadium, all the things that it can provide. And it's very well, I don't know if – I think they'd probably be the right team for it because they don't have a fan base right now. I just don't know if the ownership's going to be willing to accept something like that down the line.
Hey, good luck with the broadcast. Good to see you, my friend. And
you too.
Best of luck.
You too. Thank you very much for having me.
Great to have Ryan Leaf in studio the last half hour. We'll get to the top of the hour. We'll come back with hour number three. We're going to 3 o'clock. Coach John Quintero right here on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.